Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. A little cough to start the show. There you go. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Sorry about that. Okay, and I feel it coming on again here. Hold on. Let me get a drink. This is ridiculous. I'm fighting off a little cough today, driving me nuts. And so I'll start all over again. I'm still Larry Jacobs. Okay, this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's August 11th, 2022, and I got a favorite guest here coming back today, Kelly Koash Johnson, who's the Executive Director for the American Association of School Personnel Administrators. And what that means is basically the HR directors and folks in your HR department at your school district who are facing incredible challenges this year, getting staffing up the snuff. As school begins in many places, it has begun. And Kelly, really, I mean, she's been the executive director over at AASPA for 8 years now, and it's just amazing the work she does. They just had a summit, and the conference is coming up in October, and we're going to talk about five shifts to address the educator shortage. And I want to throw another word in there, and I'm going to ask Kelly to talk about this when we get her on in just a minute, which is we want quality educators. You know, I was reading, and believe me, I love National Guardsmen. Please don't misunderstand or anything like that. At Florida, I believe it is, you know, if you have a background in the National Guard and a few other things, you can qualify to be a teacher. Okay, and I think that's great. They're wonderful people. Please don't misunderstand that, but we need quality educators. People who are trained in pedagogy, et cetera, and I know there's a shortage, so I'm interested in Kelly's insights and all that. Same thing happened in New Mexico. Good people, good hearts, in uniform, going in, working to put somebody in front of the classroom, okay, with all the best of intentions. And I'm just curious what Kelly's going to talk about that. It's really just astounding what's going on out there this year. So we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, as you know, we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our home website is ace-ed.org, and if you go over there, you'll see everything we do, either right there or linked. And here's everything we do. The brand new back-to-school issue of our magazine, which is called Equity in Access Pre-K-12. All right, that just was put up there this week. It's a beautiful issue. I hope you go over there, check it out. Just click on the cover, flip through, okay? All of our podcasts are over there under podcasts. There's an icon. Our Excellence in Awards program, our Excellence in Equity Awards program, okay? That's over there, too. Click on awards. Also go over to, we're concerned about teacher retention, teacher-retention.com, and, of course, SEL over at social-emotional learning, seltoday.org. It's all there at ace-ed.org, and I hope you do go over, check it out. We really want you. We're concerned about all these things. We know you are, too. It is our profession, just like it is yours. And on that note, my good friend Kelly Koash Johnson, Executive Director
for
AASPA.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me back.
You're always welcome here, Kelly. You know that.
Yeah,
okay, how's life
yeah.
Been?
It's
yeah.
Been...
Go ahead.
It's been an exciting year so far.
I'll tell you, it's exciting, and you've really taken, if I may, the bull by the horns. I mean, you've done just a great job as executive
Absolutely.
Director. Really, you, okay? You got to congratulate you. You lead the charge. I got to tell
you.
It
has, yes. We've been busy, and we're going to continue to lead it and continue to push forward and just move that needle and hopefully see some good things come out of education in the next couple of years, some really great changes.
And what do you think? You know, I was thinking about this today. I was reading about, you know, Florida. And again, nothing derogatory, certainly, about the folks who are trying to do this. You know, trying to bring National Guard people in. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, I understand the need for a warm body. And I know these people have the best of intentions, as does the school,
right.
I might add. In these days, we can't just assume everybody can become a teacher just what they want to be. So what's your thought?
Not
on
at
that?
All. You know, and I find it interesting because a lot of what we hear is that we really, really have to work to elevate the profession of teaching. And part of elevating that profession is recognizing the training and the schooling that they had to go through to get in their positions. Now, that's not to say, like you mentioned, that there are not great people that can do some great work in the classrooms. And, you know, and we have places for that, you know, paraeducators in some very immediate need substitutes, you know, to set in on occasion. But ultimately, it's been very top of our mind and extremely important to us as an organization that when we talk about reducing barriers to careers in education, that we also remind ourselves that we need to preserve standards of excellence while we're doing
that. Thank you. We can't destroy the quality of the educator.
Correct.
I'm thinking a good comparison, if I may, all right, is a physician. We've always had a kind of a shortage of physicians, and somehow over the last 30 or 40 years, whatever it is, we've created something, and they're extremely competent, called a nurse practitioner. Okay, they can do almost everything a doctor can do. Of course, they can't do surgery and stuff like that, to my knowledge. But when I go see my doctor, I'm usually seeing a nurse practitioner who works at the office, who understands what I need, prescribes pills, et cetera. Okay, did you see us moving in that direction, a teacher practitioner? I don't even know what to call them.
You know,
what do you think?
There's been a lot of creative work in different states, you know, and when you look at alternative certification, I think that's a great way in some ways to think about. We are looking at different ways to certify teachers. Not everybody has the same path. So it's not comparable necessarily to a physician, but absolutely there all are alternative paths for the medical profession, and so there needs to be alternative paths for education, right?
There really has to be. And, you know, again, your association, AASPA, when they look at this, and I talked to a district in Texas last week, you know this story. Excuse me. It's my asthma today. Okay. Forgive me for coughing, everybody, Kelly included there.
Okay.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate that. Okay, so just bear with me. But I talked to a mid-sized district in Texas. They're like 40 teachers short. And I think school starts next Monday. All right. And as you talk to your folks all over the country, again, in AASPA, what are you hearing? What's it really like out there these days?
Yeah, it's same thing. They are starting short, and so some districts are having to bring in substitute teachers on an immediate basis. Those will probably turn into a long-term sub positions until they can figure out what to do. In some cases, the class size is growing in order to take care of the kiddos that maybe don't have a homeroom teacher or a teacher at all. We also are seeing some innovation in the world of online courses. So when you talk about high school classes, they're replacing a teacher for languages with a virtual teacher.
Yep.
So there is a lot of creativity going on. It's not ideal, but I mean, just because we have this crisis does not mean that we don't have kiddos that we have to educate.
That's right. And of course, considering the pandemic and many, many other factors, all right, kids are under a lot of stress right now. We have to bring out the big guns, okay? Everybody knows that, you know, SEL seems to be the top priority of dollars and all that sort of thing, or whatever you if the word SEL ticks you off, folks, use another word. But that kind of education, okay?
Sure.
You know, it's really something. We called this show, this podcast, Five Shifts to Address the Educator Shortage. Have we touched on any of the five yet?
Absolutely. Well, we touched right away on the first shift, which is that idea of the creating pathways to careers in education and looking specifically at making sure that we preserve the standards of excellence. So the five shifts came out of the National Educator Shortage Summit, which was really unique Yeah, we did. We hosted it, but we brought together some really, really key partners, which were higher ed, so members from our teacher prep programs. We had alternative certification folks there as well for preparation. And then we brought in the State Departments of Education as well, who are the certification arms in the states. And then we had a lot of association folks there that were special interests, such as the Teachers of Foreign Language,
mm-hmm.
School Psychologists Association.
Mm-hmm.
We had Physical Education Teachers Association there as well. And what we really did is that we brought everybody out of their silos, because higher ed is working on this issue just like we are. State Departments of Education are working on this issue just like we are, but we're doing it in silos. So the idea was we brought these groups together. Oh, you know what we did, Larry? This was the best part about this summit is we assigned seats. We assigned seats. So you could not come and sit with your friend. You had to split up so that we had equal representation at tables from higher ed, departments of ed, PK-12, and organizational associations. And at first everybody was a little nervous because, you know, we all like to stick together. And then when they realized what we were doing and why it was so important to have that ability to get out of your silo, it was really powerful. And the results were, when we collected all the data, and it took us about 4 months or so, was creating this document, which is these five shifts. And these five shifts are representations of all of the partners and all of the players in education as we see it. So the first one is that reduce the barriers.
Mm-hmm.
That was really important for higher ed and for the alternative certification folks to kind of hear about. And, you know, and to hear, oh, my gosh, we didn't realize that what we were doing was causing problems for you, you know, and having these conversations about not knowing, you know, the things that higher ed does and how it impacts PK-12 or how it impacts state departments of education and vice versa. State Department of Education folks are saying, oh, we didn't realize that some of the things that we are doing are causing such pain points in higher ed. How can we work at fixing those? So that was number one. Number two, which probably is where my folks live a lot in the HR world, and that's that provide educators with more resources, which means really looking at redesigning a comprehensive human capital management system.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's tough because that's like breaking down everything and putting it back together. You know, it involves diversity, equity, and inclusion. It involves community partnerships, all of those major things, including the boards, the Board of Education's into all conversations with regards to the system. And that
I gotta ask you something. You just brought up something that's so darn interesting. Okay. We are constantly trying to have our faculty demographics match the students. So to put it bluntly, so a black kid might be taught by an African American teacher. Okay, that's simple. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think it's important in every possible way. I think white kids need that too, and vice versa. Okay? But that's not my point. My point is, in an age where we really want to diversify the faculty and the staff, but we're in such a shortage, what did everybody say about that at the summit?
They're trying,
but there's not enough. The people aren't there. Well, what's going on with that? It's tough.
So we talked about that both through that barriers conversation. So, you know, it kind of starts with what barriers are happening at the higher ed level to diversify our workforce pipeline, right?
Yep.
And then having that conversation about our colleges, you know, where are the community colleges? Where are some of the specialty colleges in this conversation? And are we offering any night classes, you know, are we offering
mm-hmm.
all
mm-hmm.
kinds of opportunities for all kinds of folks in all different walks of life to potentially look at education as a career? And then on the certification side of it, you know, is there equity in our practice exams, in our in our teacher certification exams? There's a huge debate over that.
Wow.
Is that really holding us back with regards to diversifying our pipeline? So there's a lot of research on that end of it. And then for us in HR, are our hiring practices where they need to be to to attract a diverse population of educators? And then you're going to love this. This goes back to my favorite piece, which is that retention is going to be the most important thing. So
here, here. Let's keep great teachers teaching.
That school districts can get diverse candidates in their pipelines and in their buildings, but they can't keep them. And so why aren't we keeping them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a long answer to your question.
Yeah.
But, and I would be remiss if I didn't say shift number three that we spent a long time talking about is this teacher pay piece. So increasing educator pay by establishing transparent and equitable reward system. There is a huge debate in this country about paying our educators more, and absolutely we have to be doing something. But in addition to just raising that base salary, there are so many other things that we can take into account. And ultimately, we have to start asking our folks what they want. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because
I'll tell you a great story. I heard about this yesterday. It was a district. It's a district in, I think, Massachusetts. And for years, they would start school the day after Labor Day. Okay. And the kids would come back. But this year, it's starting 3 days after Labor Day because with this shortage of educators gave the union a little more punch. And the union said, our teachers always came in at no pay prior to Labor Day to set up their classrooms. We would like you to pay them for 2 days without kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so they can set up their classrooms. And darned if it didn't happen. Darned if it didn't happen. And, you know, and there's teacher voice out there this year. We have to retain the educators. If we don't treat them right, okay, pay, et cetera. Okay, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. That simple.
I know. You know, and pay has always been a hard thing to address at a national level because the pay discrepancies from state to state are so dramatically different. But there are things we can do, and I'm super proud of some of the work that we are doing. We're supporting a federal legislation that will offer up to $15,000 tax credit for teachers.
That's great.
And I'm thinking to myself, anything helps, right? And while we still always need to be working towards getting that base salary up, there's all kinds of other things we can do in the meantime. You know, giving extra time, like you just said, paid time to plan is a great one. The benefit structures need to change a little bit in some districts, and I think we're working on that. But training and development is huge, and that's something where there's a lot of federal funding for, and I don't think we're utilizing that, and we're not counting it as equitable and transparent, you know, in their total rewards package. So all kinds of things that we really can work on in that particular area.
And we have to do it. You know, all the birdies, like they always say, are coming home to roost. Okay, we've neglected this stuff for too long. Okay, and we've always treated teachers, I'm going to say this the right way, as low-paid, okay, public employees. Okay, but that's the wrong way. They are professionals, college-educated professionals, most with advanced degrees.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
We expect our teachers to have almost, you know, practically master's degrees.
That's
yet you can get a job at Starbucks in some states and get paid more.
Isn't that amazing?
You know,
think about that.
That's wrong, right? Now,
I would say.
So, yeah, there's a lot of work that can be done, and we're excited to work with different organizations.
Right.
You know, at the summit, AFT was there, as well as NEA was there, and it's everybody is on the same page with regard to this topic, which is we have to do a better job of on our total reward system overall. So
good news. It's interesting, but was NSBA there, School Boards Association? Were they there?
They are hopefully planning to participate in a bigger role next year. We did not have the school boards present for this summit in February.
And the reason that they're important, well, they're important, period, everybody knows that. They're the voice of the people, and it is public education, okay?
Yeah,
but my
point
is they're the ones who process pay increases, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a school board does, among other things. And we've got to get them on the table. We got to get them to the table and to understand that this is going to happen, because it's going to be you can pay me now or you can pay me twice as much later. Okay,
yeah.
it's just nuts. I think we've got four. What was the fifth shift? I might be wrong.
So number four, you betcha, is and this one is that strengthening educators' sense of purpose, belonging, and connection.
Oh, that's great.
And that really hits that wellness piece really hard.
Yeah, retention. It hits retention.
Yes, and the retention piece. We know that the way to increase our pipeline is to allow folks to understand what an amazing career and what an admirable career education is. But we also have to make sure that we are making sure that they feel that too, you know. So
yeah.
There's work to be done in higher ed with regards to that. There's a lot of work to be done at local school district levels in their retention and their employee engagement, that can help that along as well. So,
and, you know, I got to say
something
there. Yeah, I got to say something there. This is years ago. I'm getting old, but when I wanted to become a teacher in high school, I wanted to become a social studies teacher because I loved my history teachers in high school. And I just happened to bump into them when I was in high school, and they said, "What are you going to do next year?" Blah blah. But I was talking to like three of them. And I said, well, I'm going to go to Westchester State in Pennsylvania. I'm going to become a history teacher. And they all looked at me, and all three of them tried to talk me out of it. Okay? All three.
Yep.
Of them. Okay. And then they're talking a long time ago. Okay? My point being, okay, we always say to everybody else we have to elevate the profession.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the joke that Taylor has the baggiest pants. Okay? We got to make sure we do that ourselves. Okay.
Yes.
If you do that and have pride, and you should, in your profession, that shows in your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's going to encourage people to become teachers. Okay, and that's a key thing, and it's also a key to your teacher retention. If you have pride, and if your school district makes you feel proud to be there, it makes all the difference in the world. It's good. Great point there,
it
Kelly.
Sure does. It sure does. Yeah.
Everything's
changing. Number five, the last one, is the one that probably got the most attention at the summit, and that was this idea of promoting the profession. And delivering an exceptional employment experience. So we had so many phenomenal ideas float around that room about who could we get as a spokesperson for education. And when it really came down to it, Larry, it was we need our own people to be the best spokespeople for our industry first.
Well, they said it's – there you go.
You know, just like what – yeah, that's just like – so We can have all these famous people talk about how wonderful it is to take a career in education.
Yeah, but they are teachers.
But ultimately, if we can't get our own folks to stand up and say those words, what's the point, right?
Well, exactly. You can get Brad Pitt to say it, but Brad Pitt isn't a teacher.
Yeah, that's okay. I was more going for a Justin Timberlake, but
I'll go for him.
You know, Brad Pitt would work as well.
Yeah. Right. It's funny. Yeah, we have to, again, it's the teacher voice that really matters. I think also, you know, administrator voice, appreciation, superintendent voice out
That's
there.
Right.
I mean, because they're the ones who are, if I may, stuck with the problem.
Oh,
you know,
I know.
They got to get warm bodies and quality warm bodies in there. It's that
That's
simple.
Right, and quality is the number one.
It really is. I mean, we just got to really do something about this. So I think, now I know I want to get into this. Your national conference is, what's October 10th to the 13th? Is that right?
Correct, yep, in Orlando.
There you go, in Orlando.
Yes.
I hope a lot of people go. And I just want to say, who do you want to go to that? Now, I know it's your membership, obviously.
Sure.
Okay,
no,
PHR people, but add some groups in there that might benefit from heading to the school HR convention.
Absolutely. So I definitely, and it is a lot thanks to, you know, this collaboration with some of these other groups, but we certainly plan on the PK-12 side, we continue to grow our attendance with principals and superintendents,
Fabulous.
Of course.
Fabulous.
So those folks always find amazing things to attend and to collaborate with at the conference. But in addition, I suspect this year we will have a larger group of higher ed folks, so the recruiting folks
Good.
Of colleges and universities will be there.
Wow.
Trying to figure out what,
wow.
you know, can they learn or take away to help both recruit to their colleges of education, but to also teach their kiddos, you know, and I'm not talking the pedagogy piece. I'm talking about
yeah.
the professionalism pieces maybe and the benefits pieces, you know, learning some of that compensation lingo and the total rewards lingo that they can then share with their students, if you will.
Yep.
And then I suspect that we will also, and I certainly welcome some more State Department of Education certification
Good.
Folks.
Good.
Because there are some major changes that are going to be coming to many states. You already mentioned several states in your beginning intro that have changed the qualifications to be in a classroom, whether that is a full-fledged teacher or if that's a substitute. There are going to be additional changes coming, and I think it's important for the certification folks to understand where HR is coming from, what their pain points are again, what resources can they provide to state departments of education.
Yep.
And so that is a group we certainly welcome as well.
That's good. And, you know, I never asked you this. Again, AASPA is the American Association of School Personnel Administrators, all right? And I'm just curious, I never asked you this before. Your folks, HR people, are they coming out of education or are they coming out of business school, you know, with an HR background? Where
yes.
are they coming from? That's a good question.
I want to preface this by telling you, Larry, that I don't have any real concrete data to support this.
You're smart enough. I trust your anecdotal information.
I will tell you that about 70% of HR folks came up through the ranks of education.
Mm-hmm.
And about 30% came over from private industry. So
that's actually,
you know,
not too bad a mix.
So nobody, you know, grows up and says, I want to be an HR director when I grow up,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Commonly you develop into that, whether early in your career or later in your career. And it also kind of varies depending upon the part of the region of the country you're in. So we see higher levels of private industry folks on the East Coast and on the West Coast. And then,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it is pretty fascinating. And that's when I go and I present at different states or different organizational conferences, that's one of the first questions I ask is how many of you, you know, came to your position
wow.
through the educational channels and how many of you came over through private industry. And that's the one thing that we really pride ourselves. It's not the one thing. It's one of the many things we really pride ourselves on. Yeah, is that our goal as an association is to bridge the gap, because if you came over from private industry, you know so much about HR policies and practices,
right,
but you really are lacking in the school culture, climate,
right,
maybe even a compensation system. And vice versa, if you came through the principalship, you know school climate culture stuff, but maybe you're lacking on some of the higher level HR policies and practices, you know, transactional issues a lot of times, if you will. So we try to tailor our professional development for both groups.
I was just going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to ask you that because, you know, just let's push the association, okay? AASPA, in this day and age, they've always been important, but they're extremely important right now, Kelly's group, okay?
Yeah.
And just talk for a second, because I think every school district needs to know this, okay? Talk about the professional development you guys offer. You know,
Yeah,
that's key.
And it's growing, which is so exciting.
Sure.
You know, as an association,
sure,
we're growing, and a lot
Should
of
be.
That is because we're growing a lot of professional development. So we do twice a year, we do HR boot camps. And I like to say that those really focus on the transactional side of HR. So learning your FMLA, your ADA, all those fun acronyms, things that will keep you out of the courtroom, right? And so we do that. And then
we also know that
we have a lot of members that are further along in their career, and they don't even have to worry about the transactional stuff anymore. So then we want to grow them into strategic leadership. So that's the developing a new onboarding program, or starting a grow your own program,
mm-hmm,
or restructuring your compensation model for your district is a good one. So we do a human capital leadership summit, which really highlights some of those higher level changes in a district that you could do as an HR person. And then we added a couple years ago a diversity, equity, and inclusion summit.
Oh, good.
Which we break that puppy in half, and we do half on specifically on recruitment and retention, and then we have half of our sessions are on strategic leadership in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Good.
Because we recognize that there's a difference. You know, some people, we really need to focus on recruitment efforts and retention efforts, and in some cases, we have an overhaul, and we need to look at a strategic leadership approach to diversity, equity, and inclusion in our district. And then I would be remiss
so many
if
layers.
I didn't say, ASPA does, we have a certification program. So for the best and the brightest in the area of school HR, we have a professional human capital leader in education certification program. So we are the credentialing organization for that exam and that certification. And then we have a lot of states that will do trainings to help folks pass that exam, learn more. And they're all rooted in human capital leaders and education standards. So any event you go to with ASPA will have standards attached to all of the sessions. And those standards are something that we think every HR, you know, person should have a pretty good understanding. And my favorite task to give a lot of folks that either are new to HR or thinking even about growing their career is to take a look at those standards and start highlighting what you're doing and what you feel like you've got a really good handle on, and then start filling your holes.
Wow.
And you know, and Larry, this will shock you about me, but when I go to professional development for myself,
yep,
I tend to gravitate towards sessions that I can contribute to, right?
There you go.
Because I like to talk. But the truth is that I should be going to sessions where I can't contribute because I need to I need to grow and learn in that area.
Yeah. I think it's I think you're absorbing it. I think you're doing okay. You know, I have to ask you this, okay? There's a bit, little over 12,000 school districts, okay? So I'm going to assume you have 12,000 members. Am I correct?
Yeah. I wish,
no.
Not quite.
Yeah, exactly. And my point of that is that every school district needs to go to AASPA.org now because you are in trouble and, you know, it's time to change things and
it
get
is.
Your team on the right track here. Okay?
And
you're not going to do it on your
resources.
Own.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. How can I say this? Use the resources of human resources. Okay? It's that simple.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we really try hard. You know, there's 12,000 school districts, but you and I both know that some of those districts are too small to employ a full-time HR director, if you will.
So
and
what?
So
even more important. Even more important.
That's exactly why our one of our bigger growing groups are those principals and superintendents,
absolutely.
Because they're doing the work.
They're doing the work, and they don't know what they're doing. Okay, you
That's
said it
right.
a few minutes ago, and you know they do know what they're doing educationally, but you said you know it's a good way to avoid court.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
you have
it
a
is.
Shortage out there, but if you don't know what you're doing in HR, you could be in big trouble.
That's
okay?
right. Yeah.
Huge trouble. All right, and I want HR to be cast positively, not negatively, but this is important. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's increase
well,
your membership.
I
don't know what
you
your current
quick.
Membership is. We've got to get it to 12,500.
Yeah, that's
okay.
right. That's right. But I'll tell you a really interesting story really quick that I had. I was in an audience, and I was talking to a principal. And they were like, what do you do and what do you have?
Yeah.
And I explained to it. And they said, we always figured HR was the place that took away certifications, you know, fired people, disciplined people, et cetera. And I said, my whole goal is that should only be 10% of what an HR director does.
Oh.
The 90% of what they do should be to always avoid that 10%. So that starts with the onboarding. It starts with the growth, the professional development. It goes on with the career ladders. It continues with work-life balance. It moves into the employee engagement piece. Those are the things that HR should be spending 90% of their time doing so that only 10% happens to be the ugly side, which everybody seems to think of when they think of HR.
You should not think of that when you're thinking of
you
HR.
You should not.
HR,
no, no.
HR is
but,
good, not bad.
You know, in their defense,
good.
25 years ago, that probably was the model that was used because we had so many teachers, we didn't have to worry.
That's right.
So you were in and you were out, and that's what we did. But times are changing, and we have to change with
said
them.
Said Bob Dylan. Yeah, you're absolutely the times. They are changing. The times
they
have changed.
They are changing, yeah.
Okay, so really, everybody, this is important. AASPA.org, okay? Really important these days. Kelly, this is a great show. I really love having you on. We'll do more.
I enjoy it, too. And, Larry, we hope to see you in Orlando doing some podcasts for us.
And I was just talking to my partner Maya about that yesterday. So we're gonna. I'll get back to you. I haven't forgotten. I promise.
You got it.
I promise. Okay. All right. We're getting our act together too. Okay. Thank you,
okay.
Kelly. You're wonderful. Thank you, my dear. Have
all
a good
right.
weekend. Okay.
You too. You too.
It's Thursday, but still have a good weekend. Okay.
You
and
got
thank you.
Thanks,
start it tomorrow.
Larry.
Go.
Okay.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. The amazing Kelly Koash Johnson, everybody. And Kelly, okay, is the executive director for AASPA.org. Don't be stupid, okay? Not in this day and age. AASPA.org. You heard it all here. All right, then go over to ace-ed.org. That's us. We'll archive the podcast there. Our magazine is over there. Ward's program, all the work we do on teacher retention, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so please check it all out. And SEL, I'm Larry Jacobs. Again, ace-ed.org. Okay, thanks for listening.